There's that great moment you heard in the scripture reading when Paul is standing before Felix. And Felix is the governor. The order of governors, you know, from the New Testament, in those days you had Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and then came Felix, and then came Festus. And all three of these are mentioned in scripture. And Paul had to stand before Felix because Pilate was no longer in that office. And Felix was interviewing him. And you heard in the interview, there was that time when Felix looked at Paul and he said, "Go your way for now," meaning with a guard. He is still in prison. "Go your way for now, and I will send for you when I have a convenient season or a convenient time." And I love that. Both the King James Version and the NIV use the word convenient. And I think that's so interesting because the Christian faith is not really convenient. And that's what we're seeing here with Scott and Krista leaving for Chiang Mai, Thailand. You know, that's really not convenient. It costs a lot of money. When you ask Bob and Kathleen, "Is that convenient to send your children away, your grandchildren away? Is that convenient?" There isn't all that much in the Christian faith that is convenient. Repentance is not convenient. Sacrifice is not convenient. And there's that emotional part in the story when Felix is talking to Paul. It's actually the second interview. And Felix brought his wife along this time. Her name was Drusilla. And the text says, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewish person, he sent for Paul again and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. "So tell us about your faith." So the first one might have been about the accusation, the charges, but this one more about the Christian faith. It says in verse 25 of Acts 24, "And as he reasoned," as Paul reasoned, "of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled." I love that. So Paul is talking to the governor and saying, "I have three things that you have to know. The first thing is righteousness. You have to do right. You have to do the right thing because there is going to be accountability." So righteousness. And the second one is temperance. Temperance is related to righteousness. The word means strength, and particularly strength, mastery over your own passions. Felix, you can't live like this. You can't just do the thing that's convenient. You can't sin because it's convenient. You have to do the right thing, and it's going to take strength. That's righteousness and temperance. And then lastly, he talked about the judgment of God. "Felix, there is payday someday." You have to know this. There is payday someday. And the text says that when Paul said those things, Felix actually trembled. And Felix trembled, the text said. And then he sent him away and said, "I'll send for you again when I have convenient time." I love that contrast. He trembled. He knows it's true. He knows when he hears it, he knows that this is somehow very important for him. And because it's important emotionally, he's gripped by it. And that comes out in the form of trembling. "I heard this and it strikes me as being very important. But Paul, go your way and I'll send for you when I have a convenient time." It's not convenient now for me to be hearing this, for me to be responding to this. It is not a convenient time for me to become a Christian. It's not convenient. So go away. And as it turns out, Paul was then in that prison in Caesarea, 60 miles north of Jerusalem on the seacoast of the Mediterranean Sea, where the Roman Empire has a stronghold, thousands of Roman soldiers. So there is Paul, because it's not convenient for Felix to change. There is Paul in Caesarea in prison for 2 years. After that, he goes to Rome and he'll be in prison again in Rome. But all of this is not convenient. It wasn't convenient for Felix to repent. It's not convenient for Paul to be put in prison in Caesarea for 2 years. None of this is convenient. And if you're looking for a convenient religion, probably you should look in another place other than Christianity, because it's really not terribly convenient. I love this story of when Jack Eckerd of Eckerd Drug fame, the founder of the pharmacy, the drugstore. Jack Eckerd was good friends with Charles Colson. Eventually, Charles Colson was able to lead him to faith in Jesus. And Jack Eckerd, shortly after his conversion, walked into one of his own stores. He's going down the aisle where the books and magazines are, and he sees the Playboy and Penthouse magazines. And it bothers him. He goes back to his office. He calls the president of Eckerd Drugs and says, I want to do away with those two magazines. I don't want them in my stores anymore. The president of the corporation says, Jack, you know those magazines bring us $3 million of profit a year. And he said, well, never mind that. I don't want them in the stores. So 1,700 Eckerd drug stores got rid of those magazines that day. When Charles Colson heard about it, he called Jack on the phone. And his question was, did you do that because of your commitment to Christ? And Jack Eckerd said, why else would I give away $3 million? The Lord would have let me off the hook. It's not convenient to serve Jesus. It almost never is. It's a sacrifice. It's rewarding. It's much more convenient to drop out of high school than to graduate, right? But it's rewarding when you graduate. It's much more convenient to let your health and fitness be destroyed by whatever lack of exercise, overeating. It's much more convenient to do that, but it's rewarding if you keep that from happening. It's convenient to abandon and neglect your family members, your wife, your children. That's convenient. We can all do that. That's easy. But it's awfully rewarding when that spouse and those little ones look up at you and think that you're wonderful and they want to follow you and be like you. And they say that your life is well lived. It's pretty rewarding. It's not convenient. It's rewarding. And so is the Christian faith. Let me close with this story that is very moving to me. Young lady, freshman in college, 1995. Her name is Stephanie Stevenson. She is talking to her voice professor. Voice professor says, you know, Stephanie, you probably ought to go ahead and try out for Les Mis. There are auditions in our area just for the experience. We can't imagine that you'll get the part, but why don't you just go ahead and try out for Les Mis and see what happens? So she goes to the audition. What you have to know about Stephanie is she has a voice that sounds like one of those Disney girl singers in the movies. It's just sweet and crystal clear. And so she tried out, and sure enough, all the music staff at the audition were very impressed. They told her to come back for a second audition. She sang a second time, and once again, they were very keen on her. So they invited her to go to New York City. She and five other girls were competing for the part of Colette, main character's daughter in Les Mis. And sure enough, the people in New York City thought she was wonderful. So she was asked. It took a whole year before a part came available. But in 1996, a year later, she was called and said, if you're ready to go, we need you to replace the actress for the part of Colette. And she was eager to go. So she was told the first order of business was to observe the show. And then when the departing actress left after that, she would know how the departing actress handled the part, and she could do it as well. So she's there watching the show with her mother. And at a certain point, she is horrified to notice that each of the actresses plays two parts. So in addition to the Colette role, Stephanie would also be required to play the role of one of the prostitutes who's dressed very badly and being handled by the male actors in an inappropriate way. And she's mortified. She's a Christian. She can't do that. And she goes back to the hotel room with her mother. And she talks. And she cries. And she prays. Next morning, she calls the producers. And she says, I'll do any other part. Let me trade a secondary role. I'll still do Colette, but let me trade a secondary role with another actress, and I'll do her part, and she can do the prostitute's part. Just let me trade with somebody. And they basically said a cold-hearted no. And they said, if you can't separate your personal life from the parts you have to play, then you'll probably never make it in this business anyway. So Stephanie turned down the role. Amazing. She was describing this and she said, people work all their lives to get to Les Mis. But if the moral price means going over the line, I didn't want to do that. And the directors of Les Mis were interviewed by the Associated Press. And here's what the directors said. She's gorgeous and she's talented and she could have played the daylights out of the role, probably to great acclaim, and probably would have ended up on Broadway. I respect what she did. She's a brave young girl to forego an amazing career boost. That is not convenient. When she's asked about it now, she says, I was tested to see how strong I would be for God. I would have loved playing Cosette on Broadway, but I would not have been able to live with myself if I had done everything else necessary to land that role. So there are two kinds of people in the world. Felix is trembling when he hears the claims of Jesus on his life. It strikes him as being important, even life-changing. And the emotional pressure of that actually causes him to tremble. But then he sends Paul away and says, this is not convenient for me. I'll call you again when I have a convenient time. That's one kind of person. And another kind of person is like Colette being played by Stephanie. It just can't be done. It is like what the Dysarts are doing with Chiang Mai. It's not convenient. It's what the Andersons are doing to send away the grandchildren that they love, the children that they love. It's not convenient, but it's worth it. It is rewarding. It is, in the grand scheme of things in the universe, is what you are made to do. It's what you have to do. And every person has a calling like this. It's not convenient for you to follow Jesus, but I hope you'll do what you see exemplified today in this service. I hope you will not do what Felix did. He sent away Paul and Christ because it wasn't convenient. I'd like for you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you've been like Felix and you know when you hear the gospel, it strikes you as being important, but you keep sending Jesus away because it's not convenient, I hope that right now you'll remedy that. I would like to remind you of the gospel that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins because he loves you. He rose from death after 3 days, alive, not dead, that he today is offering the free gift of everlasting life. It may not be convenient for you to say yes to Jesus, but it is the truth. It is rewarding. It's what you have to do. And if you've never said yes to Jesus yet, I'd like to give you an opportunity, leading you in a private, personal, quiet prayer, calling on Jesus to be your Savior. If you haven't already done this, I hope you'll pray with me right now, in the quietness of your heart, calling on Jesus for your salvation, because the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'll lead you in a prayer if this is how you feel about it. I hope you'll pray right along with me right now. Will you do this? Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, as the gospel says it. I believe you rose from death after 3 days. And I believe, as the gospel has it, that you are holding out for me the free gift of everlasting life, to have my sins forgiven, to go to heaven forever, to be one of your born-again children. And today, I want to accept that gift. I want to say yes to you because I believe in you. And I know, according to your promise, that no one who comes to you like this will ever be cast out. So I thank you for that free gift today.